We've had a great time getting to meet many of you, getting to know some of you even better. We've enjoyed so much the preaching, the food, the games, just a great time of fellowship. I only have one complaint so far from this week, and that's the fact that I was not told ahead of time that it was okay to wear colorful Hawaiian shirts. Because I have a closet full of colorful African shirts that would have fit right in, and I would have brought them. And the benefit of that would have been that I would have been able to match this morning with the most handsome man here, Pastor Williams. And I have to kind of be nice, Pastor Williams, and butter him up because I'm hoping he gives our team some easy questions, Brother Rose, tomorrow at the Bible trivia. So if I'm being too nice to Brother Williams, that's why. But it's been, we've had a fun week so far getting to know you. Enjoyed the different messages that have been preached, the different songs that have been sung. I love the themes that have been, the intentional themes, maybe even the unintentional themes of diving into God's word. Also, all the songs we've been singing about God's love.
Amen.
And God's goodness. As you dive into God's word, you see God's love all throughout the Bible. You see God's mercy, and you see God's grace all throughout God's word. And this evening, I just want us to look at the word of God and talk a little bit, reflect a little bit on the mercy and the grace of our God.
Amen.
The mercy and the grace of our God. Before getting into the word of God this evening, I want us to talk about those two words, mercy and grace. Words we see a lot of times in the Bible, words we use quite often in the Bible, but what do those words mean? I think grace, we knew quite often, we talk about it quite a bit. So what do we say grace is? Who can help me out here? What is grace?
God's
riches
and grace.
There you go, God's expense. Have you ever heard unmerited favor?
Yes.
Unmerited favor. You can say receiving something I don't deserve.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. I have a question before you start this evening. Pulling out some of those puppets that Pastor Brother Rose warned against. Who likes chocolate?
Me.
I'm going to give out a chocolate bar tonight. What's a chocolate bar?
Me.
Oh, that's you. What's your name? What's your name?
Daddy.
Daddy? Okay, Daddy. Daddy, do you like chocolate? Who's Addie's parents? Is it okay if I give her a chocolate? All right, Addie. Now, what did Addie do to deserve that? Were you a good girl? Did you obey? Did you do what you're supposed to do? What did you do? Did you win a game? That's grace.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've done nothing to receive it. I've done nothing to deserve it.
That's right.
But it's given to me. I get it right back. Come here. Let's talk about mercy. Addie is not playing a game, and she does something wrong that she's not supposed to do. She breaks the rules. Pastor Williams, comes up and says, Daddy, you broke the rules. And because of that, I'm going to have to do something serious. That's not good. And then, Pastor Williams says, but Addie, I'm not going to punish you for what you did wrong. I'm going to punish, where's Brother Adam? Is that your son saying Adam? Oh, thanks, Adam. I'm going to punish Adam. So Addie says, well, and Pastor Williams smacks up Adam here. What Addie did wrong. That's mercy.
Yeah.
Grace is unmerited favor. Mercy is unmerited forgiveness. Grace is receiving what I don't deserve, and mercy is not receiving what I do deserve. Grace and mercy. And here's the final one. You do something wrong. And Pastor Williams is going to come, he's going to beat you. But he says, you know what? I'm going to give you mercy. I'm going to be Adam in your place. And while I'm eating Adam, here's a chocolate bar and eat and enjoy while I'm doing that. That's mercy. And that's grace. Always.
Yes.
And that's exactly what our God did for us.
Sure.
We were sinners on our way to hell, and we did not deserve love or forgiveness. We deserved nothing. But God, in His love, in His mercy, in His grace, He forgave us.
Yes.
He put our sins, our charges on Christ's account.
Yeah.
He's filled our life with so much grace and so many blessings.
Yes.
That's God's mercy. And that's God's grace.
Yes.
You see, now let's just look at some verses that talk about God's mercy and God's grace. so we can rejoice in what the heart of God has done for us. So let's understand something. Mercy and grace are essential for salvation. We're going to start with that, but it's not the end. The same mercy, the same grace that saved me, the same mercy, the same grace that gives me the strength every day to walk for Christ. Jeremiah is standing there in the book of Lamentations, and he's surrounded by the burning city of Jerusalem. He's surrounded. All hope is lost. But what does he say? Your mercies are new every morning. Pray this out
for me. Yes.
And I need, every single day, I need God's mercy and God's grace just as much today as I needed that day I accepted Christ. I need Jesus. And this evening, let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. We're going to look. We have a few passages about mercy and grace we're going to look at. Ephesians chapter number 2. And we're going to see here the first passage. I love what Brother Rose said the other day about how in Ephesians he's very specific. I like that. That was good. I was like, you know what? People specific things. But I hope that as we look at these passages, we can be encouraged. But we also can find specific ways that we can apply God's mercy and God's grace in our lives to make us stronger. So let's start reading here, Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, "But you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past."
That's right.
"In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as we are." Enjoy so much the testimonies that we've heard. And I enjoyed what Brother Jeremy said last night when he gave his testimony. He said, you know, other people gave a testimony how they had a hard life, they're saying all these great things. And he's like, "I just want to praise God that I was born to be a Christian."
Yes.
That's my testimony too. That's going to be a good family. You want to know something? Whether you were born into a good Christian home with the best parents in the world, or whether you're born into the worst family with the worst parents in the world, you're born.
Yes.
That's right. Look what it says here. You have the equipment. It says, "You were dead in trespasses and sins." It doesn't matter where you were born, how you were born, what your story was, what your testimony is. You were dead. And you were hopeless. A dead man can't do much for himself, can he?
That's right.
A dead man can't pull himself to salvation. A dead man can't work himself to salvation. A dead man can do nothing. And then Paul goes on to explain why we were dead. "Where in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Paul says, hey, listen, before you were saved, when you were dead, you just lived like the world did, didn't you?
Sure.
You walked in disobedience. You walked in rebellion. You walked in this. You did all these things. And then verse number 3, "Among whom also we all had." Doesn't say, "Among whom also some of us had," doesn't it?
Right.
We all had,
yes,
our conversation in time past.
Sure.
"In the lust of our flesh." Look what it says here. "Fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind." Some of us, we fulfill the desires of the flesh. For others of us, the desires of the mind, wasn't it? Sometimes it was the physical actions we did, but other times it's right here.
Right.
Sometimes we sit in good homes, and we sit in church, and we do all these things, and we don't do the bad things. We're not rebellious. But our minds,
right,
are always wicked.
Yes. Right.
And our minds is terrible. And those thoughts of our mind, as Christ shows us in the book of Matthew so many times, our mind is just as sinful. When our mind is full of those thoughts, it's just as sinful as when our actions act upon them.
Sure.
"Fulfill the desires of our flesh and of our minds." Now look what it says. "And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Sorry, that's a little depressing tonight, isn't it? We're all that way.
Right.
Yeah. We're all lost and dead and in rebellion. But God.
Yeah.
But God. Yeah. She says, "Oh, praise the Lord, that's got the message." Verse number 4. Yeah. We were dead. We were in rebellion. We were in disobedience. We were in all these things. Verse number 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, sister, thank you. But God, I love what it says to Joseph. Joseph said he's in prison. Potiphar's wife just lied about him. He's losing everything. It says he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. What's Romans 5? He says, talking about how terrible we are, how we're weak. And you don't really think of what Romans 5, what's like Romans 5 is saying? It's saying none of us are good enough for anyone else to want to give their life for us. Maybe if you're rich or poor, someone might possibly might want to give their life. We don't deserve it. Then Romans 5 says what? But God, yes, amended his love.
Thanks.
Right. And now while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
He would see God's mercy. We were lost. We deserve hell. But God, in his mercy, he reached down into the pits of our sin and into the pits of darkness, and he pulled us
out. That's right.
And he gave us life. That's God's mercy.
Yeah, amen.
And look what it says here. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, look what it says. This, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. That's an unmerited forgiveness right there.
Sure.
I didn't receive God's mercy because God said, oh, I can save Jason. He can do something for me, you know. I didn't receive God's mercy because God said, hey, you know what? He's trying good enough. He's doing as good as he can. I'll just help push him on to finish on a little bit. The reason God saved me, the reason God saved you, and he gave all of us his love and his mercy and his forgiveness, because of his love.
He is.
His great love.
Yes.
He loved us. We serve a God that is so wonderful.
Amen.
Has given us so much mercy, so much forgiveness. Verse number 5. For when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Mm-hmm. Verse number 6. We're not going to see grace. That was the mercy, right? I deserve hell, I deserve punishment, I deserve all that, but God and his love and his mercy, he saved me. That's his mercy. Now let's look at his grace. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. His mercy saved me, but then his grace did so much more. His grace made me a child of God. His grace lifted me up in heavenly places. His grace gave me a wonderful feeling. His grace has been so good to me.
Yes.
You know what? It's not over.
It's not over.
In the next verse. I love this verse. Verse number 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. What that says? In the ages to come. Every day, God wants to show us how good he is. God wants to show us his grace. God wants to fill our life with the riches of his grace. How? In his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That's our the grace of our God.
Yeah.
His mercy can't be forgotten. His grace saved him and made me his child. He's done so much for me. God's mercy and God's grace. We serve you, God.
He is.
Before we look at these other passages, I'm just going to ask, what can we do? How can we take these truths about God's mercy and God's grace, and how can we apply that to our hearts?
Sure.
What do you want to do? I just want to give a short time. I don't want to talk long on this point, but maybe there's someone here today. You've never tasted the mercy and the goodness and the salvation of our Lord. Maybe there's still someone here today that's dead in their sins. Well, maybe you're coming to church, and maybe you're doing everything you're supposed to do, and maybe you talk the talk and you walk the walk, maybe you're doing everything you're supposed to do, but maybe in your heart, you never put your faith in Christ. You never believed on him. Maybe you're still trusting in yourself, thinking that somehow if you just do good enough and just try good enough, that maybe that'll be okay. You're too nice to them. Junior 5, verse 8, verse number 8, verse 8, verse 9, verses. I think probably everyone here, most people here would know by heart. For by grace are ye saved.
You
through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not us. It's not what we do. It's not our family. It's not our church. It's not our actions. It's not our baptism. God's grace.
Yes.
God's grace. If you're here tonight and you're trusting in anything besides Jesus Christ and his mercy and in his grace to save you, you're still lost.
Yes.
I'm going to make vague. Spoke about that so clearly the other night.
no food, he would have still lost. They think that somehow they can save themselves. They don't realize they need Jesus.
Right.
Who wants to look at verse number 10? Those that are saved, those that have been redeemed, that have been pulled from the sin, that have been pulled from death by Jesus Christ, what do we do? Let's look at verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. What do we do? This is a hard saying. What do we do? I want to challenge you to do this. Remember. Remember. Yeah. Paul goes on, I saw reading the below and read the verse. He talks about how lost they were. They're Gentiles in the flesh and uncircumcised and all these things. But what he's doing is he's reminding them of how lost they were. How they were in sin, how they did have nothing, and how God in his mercy and his grace, he saved them. He said, remember that. Remember that so that, in verse number 13, we can never forget that, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Sure. Yes. Right.
Don't forget it. Never lose it. When I say don't forget it, I'm not talking about just giving testimony of your salvation. We need to do that. That's good to do. But I'm talking about living it out in our lives.
Amen.
Verse number 10, what's it say? It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do whatever I want to do. Yeah. Sorry, my English is a little rusty. I haven't been thinking English. That's what it says? Yeah. Let me try again. For now we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to live my own life. What am I supposed to do? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Yeah. Yes.
Good works don't save me. Good works don't give me salvation, but I am saved. I am created to serve my Lord.
Sure.
And to give my life to him. My life does not belong to me. My life was brought with the great Christ, and it now belongs to the Christ.
Yeah.
Now I use this to glorify and to serve him.
Amen.
If I don't remember who I was, if I don't remember God's mercy and his grace,
sure.
If I don't remember his great salvation, for this world, I won't live for Christ. I think sometimes we're afraid, aren't we? I want to live for Christ. I want to serve him. I want to teach. I want to do this. I want to serve. I want to do these things, but I just don't know if I'm good enough. I just don't know if I can. You don't know what I've done in my past. You don't know what I've done. You don't know these things. Can I really serve God? Can I really live for him? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter number 4. We're going to look at our second passage about mercy and grace that answers that question.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter number 4. You hear the writer of Hebrews is talking about the rest that we have in salvation, the rest that we have in Christ. And we're going to start Hebrews chapter number 4. We're going to look at verse number 12. We're going to read verse number 12 and verse number 13. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him which with whom we have to do.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but verse number 12, verse number 13 are two pretty scary verses. You know what they're saying? The word of God is a sword.
Right.
It cuts me wide open. That allows God to see.
Yeah.
Shows everything.
Amen.
Verse 13 tells you there is nothing hidden from God. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
There's no creature. Everything is open and manifested in him. It's pretty scary, isn't it? My actions, my thoughts, my reason to choose some of the things I do. Christ knows it all. street, and I think it's pretty well camped.
Yeah.
I think from mom and dad, I know from pastor, I know from our friends. Sometimes we sit comfortably at home thinking, you know what, everything's okay because nobody knows what I'm doing. I've gotten real good at hiding my sin. I've gotten real good at living this double life. I've gotten real good at putting on this mask when I go out, but what's the word of God do? It rips it all away.
Amen. It
lays me bare and open before my God.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah. Hey, maybe you're here trying to hide something. Don't be like Jonah. I think that's all you can hide from him. The word of God is there. We can all clear. That's why. One reason when we do hide things, when the person keeps trying to avoid it, is the word of God. Don't want to read it. Don't want to come to preaching under it because it convicts me.
Sure.
It makes it clear. I know what you're thinking, right? You're like, oh, I thought you were talking about mercy, grace, laughter. Whoa, how did this turn around? The next verses have come. Because here's the truth. If you had a sword, we cut spiritual sword, cut me wide open right now, and you could see everything about me, everything in the past, every evil thought I've ever had, every evil thing I've ever done, you know what you would do? You'd probably chase me out of this campground pretty fast. I think you'd probably do the same for most of us.
Right.
We really knew everything was open, everything was fair. Most people wouldn't want to be around us, and they'd kick us out as fast as they could. But God, who does see everything, God, who does know everything, God, who sees me for how I am, God, who knows all of that, what does he do? Next verses. Verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what verses are saying. The word of God is quick and powerful, and it cuts me wide open, and everything is clear, and everything, God knows everything, and he knows everything that I've ever done. And what's he said? Come to me.
Yes.
And I'll help you. Sure. And I'll forgive you.
Amen.
Come to me. And I'll give you mercy and grace. Don't just come. Come boldly unto the throne of God. Why? Because we have a great high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That knows what it's like to be tempted and to be tried. Who knows what it's like to be for the devil to try to do anything he can to get him to fall. Who knows what it's like to be betrayed and hurt. Who knows what it's like to lose and everything. He knows everything.
Sure.
He says, so I can give you mercy. I can give you grace.
Mm-hmm.
Come, so I can help you. How do we act on this? How do we put this mercy and this grace? How do we put this in action when we read these verses? I think the first thing we need to do is realize that if there is sin in our life, we need to make that right. God knows it already.
We
don't have to try to hide it. You don't have to try to put on a show. You don't have to try to put on a mask. You don't have to try to pretend to be a music. God already knows. And he's waiting for you in humility and in faith come to him and confess those sins and repent of them and let him change you. Yes, he wants to help you. You're not in that struggle alone. You're not in this fight against Satan and the flesh and the world. You're not in that alone. You already have the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Come to him. He's full of mercy and grace.
Yes.
And you know something about this. It works, fits well with the message Brother Rose preached yesterday morning, I believe, about correction, chastising. Same book of the Bible, Hebrews. You know what? God does chastise us when we sin.
Sure, yeah.
God does chastise when we walk in rebellion. God's chastisement is a mercy.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a mercy. He said, what? How? No, it's not. It's a back to that passage. If I can piggyback on Brother Rose's message, Hebrews chapter number 12. Hold your place there before we go back. I want you to understand this. God's chastisement is a mercy. Hebrews 12. Or look so much at these passages, I don't want to hit on QR, but again, but just look what it says. Hebrews chapter number 12. Look what it says here, verse number 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
Yeah.
This is love. He doesn't chastise us in anger, like, well, that's all they do with their kids. He doesn't chastise us because he's trying to be mean. He does it because he loves us. And he knows that it's going to be hard. He knows that chastisement is going to hurt. He knows that's something that nobody wants to go through. But he knows that chastisement will make you stronger. Do you have biblical proof for that? More verses later. Verse number 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Hey, look, it says, go back to verse number 10 of Hebrews 12. It says this, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit.
Right.
That we might be partakers of his holiness.
Amen.
Father, he says, Heavenly Father, he chastises us and he corrects us. It's not for our guidance, for our because he loves us.
Yeah.
So what do we do? After Hebrews 4, what do we do? First thing I encourage you, come to Christ. Confess those sins. Make it right. Lay aside your rebellion. Lay aside whatever excuse you're giving. Not be following God. Not be living for whatever that sin is, that's going back. Just give it to Christ.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we have one mediator between God and man.
That's right.
The name of Christ Jesus.
Yep.
If you've done someone wrong, you need to go make that right. You don't need to come and say, Pastor Harvey, I've done this. You know what you need to do? Go to God.
Yes.
Say, God, I have this sin in my life. I've been doing wrong. I've been living a double life. I have this thing, Lord. I just need you to take this away from me. I need you to help me with this. I need you to give me victory. Yes.
Yeah.
And what does 1 John 1 say? We confess our sins. He is what? Faithful and just.
Amen.
Yeah, to confess our sins. It says you're unhappy with the Father. The devil's going to come running. He's going to try to remind you. Look at all these bad things you've done. You can't serve God. You can't do anything for him. And what's our judge? What is our advocate? Our lawyer? He says, Father, just look at my hands.
Yeah.
That sin is already paid for on the cross. I've already given him mercy and grace.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Yeah.
All right. That's our job. That's his mercy. And that's his grace. If you've been living, if you have something to confess to Christ, I encourage you. Give it to him.
Yes.
Let him do it. Let him forgive you. Let him do a great work for you. It says there, let's go back to Hebrews 4 and we'll read again, verse number 16. So verse 15 says he understands. He's been touched. He's been tempted. He's been tried. Verse number 16, for let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Look what it says. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Maybe you're here today, you're struggling. You're really going through a hard time. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's with family, maybe it's whatever it is. Maybe you just need some help. I encourage you. There's someone in heaven that loves you.
Sure.
That wants to help you.
Hey.
That's full of so much mercy, so much grace. He just wants to fill your life with it. Psalm 103. So I want you to think that somehow mercy and grace are a New Testament truth. I want you to understand that all throughout the Bible, from the very beginning, God's mercy and God's truth reigns.
Sure.
Psalm 103.
Let's start reading verse number 1.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, asked unto the children of Israel. Look at verse number 8. The Lord is merciful.
Amen.
And gracious.
Yes.
Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy.
Praise the Lord.
He will not always chide. He will keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sin.
Thank you.
Mercy. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
Grace.
Yes. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him.
Yeah.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him.
Yes.
For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust.
Yes.
That's the Old Testament, right?
Yeah.
That's our God.
Amen.
From the very beginning, always so full of mercy and so full of grace. Back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, why did he not just stamp them out? Why did he just remake everything in there? It's mercy and grace. Why did he kill the women and make their clothes? Mercy and grace. Why did he give them a promise of hope? Mercy and grace. That's our God. The same mercy, the same grace that God has shown every person throughout the Bible, the same mercy and grace he's ready to show you.
He is.
He wants to show you tonight. It says in verse number 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. There comes back that correction, that chastisement. I love what Pastor, but the verse that we said in Romans 2, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. The goodness of God. Sometimes that chastisement does have to come. But other times God calls out with a still small voice, as my child. Come back to me.
Yes.
Before the wrath, before the anger, before the judgment comes, he said, before the correction comes, he says, my child. Remember how good I've been. Remember what I've done for you.
Sure.
Remember all your life. Remember all these things. Come back to me.
Yes.
Goodness of God will be a tender repentance. Verse number 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's the praise of the Lord. He has not dealt with me according to what I deserve. I deserve hell.
Right.
Deserve judgment. But God has given us so much. He's been so good to us. And I love these verses. It says that as a heaven is higher above the earth, so is his so great is his mercy for his name. That be your name. Look at verse number 12, number 14. And we're going to close with these verses, but I just want you to remember these. I just want you to remember that you have a heavenly Father, that loves you.
Yes.
Wants to give you mercy and grace. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Don't forget. Our sins are paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross, and we are completely washed by his blood. He's not going to bring up our sins again. Our accuser will. Our enemy will. He'll try to remind you, hey, remember when you did that, remember when you did that, oh, yeah, remember, you can't serve God because of this, you. Our Heavenly Father says, no. As far as the east is from the west, I've forgiven it. It's removed from me. It's removed from my memory. It is forgiven in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
When your father's here, you correct your child, you chastise them for something they do wrong. How do you, and the next day, you say, hey, remember when you did that? Chastisement is done, the lesson is taught to them. The grace and mercy are forgiven and now.
Sure.
You're going to help me. You're going to help again. It's your child. You correct them, and the next day they make no mistake, and it hurts your heart. You correct them again because you have to, but you're like, I still love you. That's mercy, that's grace.
Yeah.
What the Bible says? Like as a father, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear. Like that loving father said, you know what? I had to chastise you again out of 8 times. You ought to learn. I understand how hard it is. I understand the trials. And I know you're not perfect, but guess what? There's only one perfect person, that's God. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He expects us to draw closer to him every day. He expects us to have humility that when we do mess up, we come to him or repent and say, Lord, forgive us. He doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he doesn't expect us to draw up and strive to be like Christ. He knows. We're just us. That's the verse number 14. He knows how weak we are. He knows that we're going to fail and mess up. He still loves us. He still gives us mercy. He still gives us grace. Steve, I'm going to challenge you. Come to Christ. You should have where you are. Come to Christ. I love him. I think it's Luke chapter number 5, but the fishermen are there in the boat. And Jesus in there with me tells Peter to cast out the nets, and the miraculous catch, the drought of fish there. And when Peter, when it finally dawns on Peter, get the fish in the boat, the boat starts to sink, the body back to land. And when anything comes down, it finally dawns on Peter what just happened. What's his first reaction? He says, depart from me. I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm not worthy of you. Lord, I have nothing. I am not worthy. I'm a sinner. And what's Jesus say? Okay, Peter, you're right. By all my son, that's not a sinner. What's Jesus say? He says to him, Peter, you said, apart from me, you know what? I'm going to be close to you. I want you to follow me. I want to do great things with your life, Peter, because you finally, for the first time in your life, you realize what a sinner you are, what a great sinner you are, and what a great Savior you are. He is. So God wants to. He wants you to come to him in humility and in repentance, and he wants to take your life and use you and forgive you and give you mercy and give you grace. Maybe tonight you're here, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're still lost. Yes. Come to him. Yes. One day that, we will all stand before Christ. And everything will be laid there. All the hypocrisy and all the act we might be trying to do, pretend we're saved, is going to become very hopeless. Your name will not be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you will pass into the place of judgment, the place of judgment. Today, there's a point of grace. Today, there's salvation.
Amen.
I'm urging you, if you never took the grace, come to him, Jesus. Whatever, wherever you are, because we're all in the wrong different places in life, we're all different situations, wherever we are. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. He is. And let God fill your life with his grace and with his grace. Let's pray.
The Heavenly Father, Lord, I do love you so very much. Lord, I thank you this evening for your mercy and for your grace. I thank you, Lord, that we have a God who is good and a God who loves us and a God who will forgive. And Lord, I pray that you will just give all of us a clear vision of how wonderful our Savior is.